Father, the church is yours.
Amen.
Thank you that you have come to establish your kingdom on this earth.
Amen.
We want to see you as our king, and we want to see you as our great heavenly high priest.
Amen.
Oh Lord, do walk in the midst of your church.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that your lampstand is golden and shining for you.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, do anoint the lips of all the priests, O Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we can do nothing without you, O Lord.
Amen.
Teach us your will, O Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, Father, we pray that you would go before us today.
Amen.
Yeah, renew our heart and mind for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah. Such a privilege to serve our living God.
Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I want to start by reading a verse from Psalms 143. Psalms 143. And it reads in verse 10, "Teach me to do your will.
Amen.
For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness."
Amen.
Yeah, let this be our prayer, that we may do the will of our Father.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
It was a wonderful reminder yesterday. The church is not a building. It is not just a place I go on Sunday. And more importantly, it is not made with man's hands. This is a living God whose presence dwells upon his people.
Amen.
That today we can be called the children of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Look away, look unto Jesus." In chapter 12, verses 2, this is our prayer. It says, "Looking unto Jesus,
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame,
Amen.
Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
That is a way. Looking away from all the distractions.
Amen.
Giving Christ the undivided attention.
Yeah.
That is a way. Yeah. So today, we want to just go through three main points that I wanted to bring out. Why Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author because he is the started one. He is the one who started our race. He is the one who went before us. He is the forerunner, the word says. And he is the one who finished the race. I sometimes take part in some races. The reason I decided to take part in races, I want to know what it feels like to actually endure an entire race. And I can tell you it's very difficult. But there's something that happens to you when you're running a race and you have the end goal in sight. There's something that happens to you. You get the strength. You get to see that you can actually make it. There is hope. And today I pray that our eyes are on this King, this Lord, that we can see a clear vision, a clear goal. Our finish line is this Lord.
Amen.
So for those reasons, I want to walk through three main points. The first point is Christ as our pattern. Christ as our pattern. Yesterday we brought about the church is not a dwelling place just for man to visit. It is where God dwells. And we need to know the one who went before us, the life of Christ on this earth. We only know that Christ, some of us know that Christ came and died on the cross for my sins, but he is so much more. He even came to teach us how to live on this earth, be well-pleasing to the Father. So in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8. "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered."
Amen.
Yeah. We live in an environment where we do not want to suffer. It is our natural man. We do not want to suffer.
Yeah.
We want to be comfortable. You know, as soon as the Israelites were brought out from the land of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. They saw God's amazing miracles. And they crossed the Red Sea. They came into the wilderness as God was taking them into the promised land. What did they do? They rebelled against God. They complained. I don't want to go through this suffering. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I don't want to go through this trial. It's our natural man. We don't want to go through struggle and trial. We will rebel against God. And that's our natural man. But this is the Son of God. He came to this earth to show us what it means to be the son of a man. He went through obedience. We really need to consider such a Christ. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Suffering is not easy, but the Lord showed us suffering is for our obedience. It is for us to know the Father's will. It is for us to know what is in the heart of the Father. And our natural man will never understand it. This is why we need to have the Spirit of God living in us. And this is why Christ came to this earth, to give us such a spirit, to give us to know the heart of the Father. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 21. Amen. 2 verses 21. Yeah, it says, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Amen. We need to see such a Christ. It says that when he was reviled, he was insulted. He did not insult back. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He kept his eyes on the one he came here to represent. Sometimes we lose sight of the one we come to represent. Sometimes we think that, oh, church is just another Sunday thing that I need to do. Sometimes even for us good Christians, we think it's a ritual, but we lose sight that we don't see Christ, the author of our faith, the one that we need to follow, the one that who showed us what it means to be obedient to the Father. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Seeking the will of the Father. This is another reason why the Lord came over here to this earth. His desire was to do the will of the Father.
Right.
Yeah. Today, how many of us keep this in our hearts, to do the will of the Father? The top of the mind of the Lord was to do the will of the Father. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
Today, we are all preoccupied with so many things. But the Lord came to this earth so that he can be obedient to the Father. Most importantly, do the will of the Father. In Luke 22...
Amen.
Luke 22:42, it says, Amen. Yeah. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is the one we represent. This is the one that we come, who is the author of our faith. He said, not my will, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Many a times, we are not bothered with what matters to the Father. We're just going on about our own day, doing our own things. But here, the Son came to represent the Father, that he wants to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
We need to ask ourselves, do I see such a Christ to do his will on this earth? What was the Father's will? What is the Lord's will? He came to establish his kingdom on this earth. This is why the Son came here, to establish the kingdom on this earth.
Amen.
Even when he came on this earth, he said, for this reason I've come, to preach the kingdom of God on this earth, so that his reign can happen on this earth. What about us? Do we see such a Christ, that his goal should be our goal?
Amen.
His desire should be our desire.
Yeah.
To establish the kingdom on this earth. And what does that even mean? What does that mean that we can see God manifesting his life on this earth? We need to have such a desire to see that our God reigns across this earth, that He will make us a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
We need to have such a goal in our heart.
Amen.
For this reason, the Lord came. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 14. Daniel chapter 7, verses 14. Amen.
Right.
If someone took it, you want to read?
To him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom.
Amen.
That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed.
Saints, do we see this? This is why the king has arrived. This is why he said, I have come to preach the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Today we are so blinded with so many things. We want to build our own little kingdoms, our own agendas, our own houses, our own palaces. But if you are not in the Spirit, if you don't live with the Spirit of God in you, you will not have such a sight. You'll lose sight of your goal. For this reason, the Lord grew up on these verses. He saw this. This is His mission. This is His purpose. And today, the church, what are we representing? We need to see this goal. The kingdom of God to be established. It says that to Him will be given dominion and glory and a kingdom. All people, all nations, and all languages should serve Him. It was brought out yesterday that what is the church? It is not based on races. It is not based on languages. It is not based on, you know, my liking and your liking, that I can just shop around from one place to another. It is the kingdom of God. It is the king that we have to keep our eyes on. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there are other verses over here as well, but I don't want to go into all of them. But you can see even in Ezekiel 37, 22 and 24, what the Father said over here. Why did the Lord come? What is the Father's desire? Ezekiel 37, yeah, I'll just quickly read this, Ezekiel 37 in 22, and I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again.
Amen.
And 24, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. Amen. Do we have such a vision? This is the goal of the church. This is the goal of the kingdom, to be not divided, but one, standing one. Knowing God's goal, God's purpose, and for this reason, we have such a Christ who came over here. Do we see such a Christ? If you don't, you just lose vision. We will lose sight of why this Christ came. Thank you so much. Yeah, to see Christ as our pattern. His goals, our goals. His life, our life. Everything that the Lord did is for us to know how to live well-pleasing to the Father. Yeah. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. I'll just read it quickly. It says, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Let this mind be in you. which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This is what Paul prayed. This is what he cried out. Let this mind be in you. We have sometimes a very fallen mind. We follow the deep, whatever our mind tells us. That's why the word says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Your mind is sometimes full of corruption. It is fallen. It is full of sin. And we need to have such a renewed mind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Yeah, gird it up, because it will keep telling you so many things to give up, not to be obedient, not to follow this Christ, not to follow your parents, not to, you know, be one with the brothers and sisters. It's my way or the highway. This is how our mind works. But we need to gird the loins of our mind. To bring it into captive, right? I remember the first time when Brother John read this verse, it made such an impression on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, yeah? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5. So, let's read from 4 to 6. Yeah. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. Bring every thought captive. Check with Christ. Lord, is this from you or is this from me? My mind tells me go away from the church life. My mind tells me be angry with that brother. My mind tells me, no, I don't want to submit to my wife. You know, she's supposed to be, submit to one another. My child will think, no, I don't want to obey. My way is better. My dad doesn't know enough. Why does this happen? This is how our fallen mind is. But one came. He was a son of God, became a son of man, so that he could teach us obedience. Obedience to the Father. Today we need to see such a Christ. That was the first point about Christ as our pattern. I want to touch on Christ as our King.
Amen.
Wow, Christ as our King.
Amen.
This is the church. We should see this Christ as our King. King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
He is the one that we are subject under. You know, today we live in a world that, I can have so many different kinds of governments. I can choose which citizen I want to be. I can go to, you know, maybe a different country and stay there for a while and follow different kings. Our mind has seen such a twisted kind of a world that it's okay, you can choose any kind of king. But the church, the kingdom of God has a king. And upon his shoulder, that's what the word says. Let's read that verse, yeah? Isaiah 9. Wow, Isaiah 9. I always thought this verse was referring to Christmas. They would always sing for Christmas, unto us a child is born. Wonderful. One day, we'll remember the king. But that's not it. Verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. Amen. Name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. Do we see government and peace? There will be no end. Amen. The throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. This is the one we report to. This is the Christ that we are subject under. This is the government that he is establishing on this earth. And we need to see such a Christ. We need to be subject to such a Christ. Without this vision, without this king, we will lose sight. We will be okay to come in and wade into the church life any way we want. We can do whatever we want in our houses. We can come here and even pretend. But if we don't see this king, this is what is going to happen. But what happens if you see such a king?
Sure.
You will be careful in your life. You will know who you report to. You will know the king that you represent on this earth. You will be careful with the way you live, the choices you make. This king we should see. You should see such a king, not only in this chapter, that his government is being established on this earth, but also in Revelation chapter 1. Who is that king? Who is the one who's walking in the midst of the golden lampstands? We need to see such a one. Eyes flaming fire. Nothing misses him. You know, we think that, oh, I can, no one's watching me right now. But that eyes will see everything. You know, too far. Without vision, without this king, we will lose sight. And we need to see it. And I was asking, Lord, am I worthy even to say these verses? Do I see it in such a way? We need to ask the king. Lord, open my eyes. You know, what did Paul pray in Ephesians chapter 1? Open the eyes of our understanding.
Amen.
Yeah. Father, God the Father, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
We really need to pray for one another in such a way. Give us such a vision to the one who is walking in our midst that I don't take this for granted.
Right.
It is a privilege to be part of the kingdom of God. We need to see such a king.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8. Not just to see such a king, but what is he like? What does he hate? What is in his heart? It says in verse 8, but to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Amen. The kingdom of God, the people that represent, should see such a Christ. Righteousness in his forehead, right in his hands. He wanted to do what is right in God's eyes. We need to see such a God.
Amen.
We need to see such a king. You know, then we will walk with fear. Even when I want to talk about some saints to one another, I will talk with fear. What am I speaking? We know that verse in Malachi. I'll read it quickly for you. Malachi chapter 3, 16. Malachi 3, 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on his name. We need to have such a fear. We need to have such a fear, saints.
Right.
Because we need to know who we represent on this earth. When we go among people, at our workplaces, do we have such a fear? I may be talking to my manager, but who am I really reporting to? Who's the boss of boss? Who's the king of kings? Who's the one that, better, if I'm in a lift and I'm having these thoughts, who do I address it? How do I bring it quickly to captain? You know, we got to know who's such a king that we serve. Yeah. Amen. Also, being a perfect example, our King, it says, led by serving, B3, led by serving, a servant is not greater than the master.
Mm-hmm.
What a King that we serve. He says in let's read John 13, 13 to 17. And I read, you call me teacher and Lord. You do well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent is greater than he who sent him.
If you know these
things, blessed are you if you do them.
Amen.
Blessed are you if you do them.
Amen.
It's one thing to see the king,
right,
the one king who loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. But we are called to also live like this king.
Amen.
To serve one another acceptably with a reverence and a godly fear.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we serve such a king.
Right.
Not just to acknowledge him, but also to live it out day by day. All of our action, our deeds need to be according to the way of the king.
Amen.
Yeah, need to see such a king.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to also touch on Christ as a great heavenly high priest.
Amen.
Great heavenly high priest who will help us finish this race.
Amen.
Because of this, there is hope. There is a living hope. Sometimes we'll give up on ourselves. Sometimes I'll say, I cannot do it. This is too hard. Kingdom life too hard. But I can tell you, there is one who has gone before us. Mm-hmm. The forerunner, he's called. The anchor of our soul. Yeah. He went before us and he is interceding for us. That is why there is hope. He's the captain of our salvation. Let's read those verses, yeah? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. Yeah. Amen. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Amen. Of course, as a Christian, life is not easy. Kingdom life is not easy. It is suffering. But who has gone before us? Who has made a way for us? It says his desire is to bring many sons to glory. Wow, we have fallen short of the glory. But this son, he will bring many sons to glory.
Amen.
Wow, how glorious it will be with such a heavenly high priest. Yeah. He says he's sympathizing with our weakness. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. We need to see such a great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Amen. This is the great high priest. The high priest is someone who, in the Day of Atonement, was one time he could go into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, for the Day of Atonement, to do the sacrifice of the animal on the mercy seat. But because of this great high priest, because of what he has done for us, he is today interceding for us.
Yeah.
He is the perfect one who is both the Lamb of God who has taken the sin away and the great high priest who is now interceding for us. We need to see such a great high priest. And he knows what we are going through. He knows our struggle. He knows the temptations that comes our way. He knows when pressure builds on the temptations, but yet in no point he sinned. And this is why he knows what we're going through. He's sympathizing with our weaknesses. And this is why we have hope to hold on to this such a Lord, such a great high priest. That's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time we need of help. Yeah. We need to see such a one. Let's read Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 to 26. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 24 to 26.
Hebrews 7.
7, sorry. Yeah. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable high priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest
was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled,
separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Such a great high priest. He is able to do it in us. So we don't have to give up hope. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going, right? That's what the saying is. But when the going gets tough, keep your eyes on this great high priest. He went before us. He's able to do it. And today, whatever weight and sin that is still ensnaring us, let us leave it behind. Let us ask the Lord, Lord, I want to start afresh. I want to renew my vision. I want to see the. I want to see Christ as his life on this earth, that I may live it. I want to see Christ as a king of my life, that I may be subject to this king.
Amen.
I want to see this great high priest who made it before me, who ran the race before me, and made it to the end, that I can also do it through him. We have to have such a vision.
Amen.
Praise God.
Isaiah 6:5. As the brother was sharing this line, "For my eyes have seen the King," popped into my head, so just wanted to share it with the saints. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then verse 8. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me." Yeah, so we have to really, as the brother shared, we have to really see the King, and it's not just a one-time thing, right? And when we do see the King, what is our response to him, right? Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." But then his desire was, "Lord, send me." So if he is our King, then he demands a response from each one of us. And every single day he demands a response from us, right? Because he is the King, that means we are his subjects. And so what is our response to the Lord if we see him as our King? Praise the Lord.
I think some of the verses really spoke to me during this fellowship, and this point here in what we read in Isaiah chapter 9 about how Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7, I won't read the whole thing, but it says here, "The government will be upon his shoulder." And verse 7, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." And there was another place in Hebrews we also read that it says that he hates lawlessness and he loves righteousness. Hebrews 1:8. "Of your throne, O God, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." And I think that's something that many times we Christians don't realize, is that we are members, we are part of a kingdom.
Amen.
You know, there's it also says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are a holy nation.
Amen.
In verse 9, chapter 2 verse 9, we are a holy nation. A kingdom is essentially a nation. It's a country. And every country has a leader. And you know, I think many times we may know this in our head, but in our actions, we still live as though our life is mainly our family and our job, or, you know, me and what I want to do. I don't think we really believe or internalize that we are members of a heavenly and a holy nation, this kingdom. And if we do, then we will really see that Christ is our King. You know, And this is why we want to have this conference, is to break out of our thinking that church is just, you know, we gather together, have some meetings and go home and live the rest of my life. And then, you know, it's just one compartment of my life. But the truth is that we have to see that we are, once you are born again, you become part of this kingdom of God. You are part of this nation. You receive heavenly citizenship. And this is who you are full time, all the time. You don't leave it. You don't say, okay, when I'm within the four walls of this building, I'm part of the kingdom. And then when I go back to get out of the doors, go back, drive home, then I'm back to my life and I do live with it as I want. No, you are still, we're still under the authority of the king.
Amen.
And we are still under his rules. You know, but sometimes we don't really have that consciousness. And this kingdom is not composed of just random people, but it's a holy nation. All the citizens must be holy. And all the citizens must be of the same image as the king.
Amen.
So, you know, you can't have a king that's holy and righteous and perfect and in the image of God, and all his subjects are all, I don't know what, like misfits and, you know, corrupted people. But everybody, the whole nation is a holy nation because he loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. So that means that each one of us, it is absolutely obligatory and necessary and required that each one of us is changed to become more and more like the king. It's not an option. Sometimes people think, well, you know, Brother Glenn, he's more of a serious Christian. He wants to pursue Christ, but I'm just that's not for me. That's too extreme. I just want to come to church on Sundays and, you know, go back home and do my thing, you know. But he wants to be more serious. That's him. Good for him. But, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to heaven. You know, and that is the wrong attitude. It's foolish, right? It's actually from Satan to deceive God's people into thinking that they have some kind of an option to not take their Christian walk seriously. That I can somehow just squeeze by into heaven. But that's not true, right? It says here that he wants to save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
We just read it. Hebrews 7. Yeah. He makes intercession for us. 7:25, right? Save us to the uttermost, right? Those who come to him. He wants to save us to the uttermost. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. And intercession means that he comes between us and God to talk to God and say, this brother, Ronnie is still a work in progress. He needs more grace. Give him some time, right? He is cooperating, right? He is working towards that. And the high priest, he has multiple roles. On one role, he's the king to rule, but on the other role is he's the high priest to help us, right? He is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, he served Abraham bread and wine. He served him with food, right? And so he's not just the one to rule over us, but he is also the one to give us food and to supply us, to give us the grace to help us on this journey. But first, we need to realize that we are all on this journey to be conformed to the image of our King, to be made just like him. And that's why he came to earth in the first place, not just to die on the cross, but to set an example for us.
Amen.
So that we would follow in his footsteps, how he lived, how he conducted himself, how he served God and lived for his goals, for his will, even how he suffered and how he died. How it was, his whole life was an example for us, right? Otherwise, he would have just, I don't know, maybe he, if, I think a lot of Christians, their emphasis is just on him dying on the cross. He should have just come as a 33-year-old and went straight to the cross and died and resurrected. But no, he lived a whole human life. And there's a reason for that. It's to set an example for us, right? And that's why we need to see this. And this is the way, like Philippians chapter 2, it gives us, it shows us that by living in this way, God rewarded him with the crown.
Amen.
We are also aiming for a crown. And he, his life shows us how to get the crown. It's by following his example.
Amen.
You know, this is very precious to me, these 3 points. You know, we in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we're holy priesthood, holy priesthood. You know, we were chosen to be holy. God chose us before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. And then in verse 9, we're a royal priesthood, kingly priesthood. You know, Melchizedek was a king, right? King of righteousness, king of peace. Okay, so this is our destiny. We are chosen for this. And God has a way to bring us into it by being an example. His whole life was an example. He, as the Son of God, he did not have to learn obedience. But as the Son of Man, for our sake, he learned obedience. And so if he had to learn obedience, how much more do I need to learn obedience? You see, we were born in sin, and we were children of disobedience. But now we're born again as children of obedience. We have the life of the obedient one in us, but we need to follow this example. And he being the example, we can follow in his steps.
Amen.
And look at his steps. You know, after that verse, following his steps, there's a colon. Then it explains, what are his steps?
Right.
Who committed no sin. You know, 1 John 5:18. We are born of God. We do not sin. We have a life that does not sin. We follow in his steps by not committing sin. Well, in the natural man, the fallen man, we can do nothing but sin. We're constituted sinners. But now through this one man, we are constituted righteous. We can follow in his steps. And then it says who they're in their mouth, in his mouth was no guile or deceit. Now you compare Revelation chapter 14, 1 through 5. Verse 5, you know, there's 144,000 standing with the Lamb, following the Lamb wherever he goes. And it says that there's no deceit in their mouth. Isn't this wonderful? This is the gospel. This is the good news. For me, this is good news. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication or word proceed out of your mouth. Well, look, go to James chapter 3. No one can tame the tongue. Nothing but corrupt communication. That's our natural fallen man. But we are born again. We are new creation. We are a new man. We have, and we can follow in the steps of Jesus. And then the third thing, that he's that high priest. He ever lives, you know, day and night he is interceding for me. Poor me. I am nothing. You know, I'm writing in my autobiography, and I start reading, and I said, oh, what a pathetic person I am. How can God have mercy on me? I mean, I need mercy, but he's so long-suffering.
Amen.
All these years of failure, and God never gave up.
Amen.
Anyway, I'm just so thankful. We have an example. We can follow his steps, and he's our high priest, always interceding for us. And in Romans 8:34, he's at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And not only that, but in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, interceding for us.
Amen.
This is the two aspects of his intercession. How can we fail? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Oh, we have such great hope of being these kingdom people, holy priesthood, royal priesthood.
Amen.
I'm so excited.